Gracious and most loving Father, we come humbly before Thee in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, knowing, Father, that You came down in this hour to bring forth a shout, as Your prophet said, as a message, to get ready a people prepared for the Lord. Help us, Lord, to surrender ourselves, our hearts, our lives, Father, completely to Thee. Let us not be, Lord, those who would have a social gospel, but, Father, may our gospel be the very life of Jesus Christ, just emanating, O God, from these vessels. And Lord, we just commit our hearing this morning, we commit our speaking this morning. We pray, Father, that we would only say that which has already been spoken through the lips of Your prophets. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Be with us now, Father, as we study Your prophet's message, knowing that out of that message is life, because You are the fountain of life. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to the life that is in that word. For Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And we commit it in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who committed Himself to Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we'll continue in our reading from Christ's Mystery of God. And this will be number 86 in our series. And I'd like to read from paragraphs 194 through 196 for our text. Now, Brother Branham said, and you have them in the books. I don't know exactly which paragraph it is because the books are different from the computerized program. But notice God manifesting Himself in His body, Christ. Now you see the threefold beautiful thing. Christ in His body, the church, vindicating His promised word like God did through Christ. Who can condemn me of sin? If I do not the works of my Father, then where have I failed? Now you fellows say that you're doing it. You denominations say that you're doing it. Now show me. Yeah, show me where I failed to be the Messiah. Show me where I failed on one sign that God said the Messiah would do, that I haven't fulfilled it. He said, God in His body. Now we know that Jesus said that if you can't believe me, believe the works that I tell you. That's exactly, we have, when you have a vindicated prophet, the works go before the word. But when you have a group of believers, the works follow the word. So we have John 14:12, the greater works went before the word. We have John 14:12, the works go after the word. A compound meaning. Many scriptures have compound meaning. Paragraph 195 says, now Christ, the works that I do shall you do also. See the same works that I do shall you do also. More than this, for I go unto my Father. The church will be a little longer in life. See, vindicating His promised word as God did His promises in Christ's body. So is Christ doing the same works in Christ's body, the church. See, now making His mystery known to His bride tree here in the last days, bringing forth the fruits that was in the tree at the beginning. Watch the tree puts forth her branch, a Lutheran. What did it do? Then when the tree started coming up, here come the fruit coming up. What happened? They denominated. Notice Brother Bram's starting to swing and show us a little bit here what takes place. Every time there's been a revival, what happens? A man comes forward, he's got a piece of truth, he brings a piece of truth, and then what happens? Afterwards they denominate around it. They organize it. He says, what happened? They denominated. So the pruner come by, the father, the husband, and he cuts it off. It's dead. Up come the Wesleyans. It done fine coming up. What did it do? The first fruit, right back into the tree again. So he cut the vine off. It's dead. Show me one church. I want to know. I've got 33 years of the church history. Show me one time, one place where any church ever organized that didn't die on the spot. Show me one place that ever rose again outside of just members and things. Just numbers and things, not a revival, see? It's not there. No, sir, she's gone. Now notice Brother Branham speaks concerning the last three ages, where the life was coming up as in Luther's message, but when they organized around the doctrine, the just shall live by faith. It was organizing around doctrine. And when they did that, right there they died. God kept moving on. Then the life come up through Wesley's message. And when they organized around the doctrine, sanctification, the life kept moving on. And what had organized died right there. Then the light moved up through the restoration of the gifts right into this message. When they organized Pentecost, it died right there. But men chose to organize and try to, in order to try to save, look, why do they organize? They try to save their doctrine. And when they did this, they died just as sure as they died in every age, trying to safeguard their doctrine by organizing it. See, we see the explanation of it in the Church Age book. Now, Brother Branham said in the Ephesian Church Age, paragraph 64, he said, but as usual, people don't heed God's warning. That revival fire built upon the sacred word is so wonderful and the manifestation of the Spirit is so blessed that a little fear creeps in and it whispers in the heart, how can we protect this truth that we have? What can we do to see this revival goes on? That is when the Antichrist spirit comes in and whispers, look, you have the truth now. See that it doesn't get lost. Organize and set up the creed of what you believe. Put it in a church manual, and they did. They organized, they added to the word, and they did just like Eve did for taking one wrong word. It's God's word that brings life. It's not what you say about it that counts. It's what God said about it. Now, I'm going to read to you probably 6 or 7 quotes this morning from the Church Age book. Usually what I do is I take one paragraph from Brother Branham and I run it from Genesis to Revelation, but I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to show you a lot from the Church Age book about organization, because the problem we have is although you cannot organize the message, you can organize specific doctrines in the message, and they've done that. They've organized two souls, they organized seventh thunders, they organized parousia, they've organized all these little camps, and they've made camps. And yet I can show you where Brother Vail himself said, I don't have a camp. He said, so if you try to make a camp around me, you're a liar. You see? But men have a tendency, because of their weakness, men have a tendency because they are afraid to go to God for their answer. They're afraid to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They organize around something or some person. And then everybody else that's not part of that one thing or that one person, they're not in it. They exclude them, and that's part of organization, is they exclude. It's an exclusive club. And Brother Ram said, he said, a little fear creeps in and whispers in their heart. And that's what it's all about. It's fear. Why is it fear? Because they don't have trust. Trust and fear are opposites. Faith and fear are opposites. Paul said in Romans 8, he said, he hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of love and of adoption. You see? So notice, he told us that fear is what motivates them to organize what they know to be the truth. And when they do that, that's right when they die. From the church choosing law for grace, Brother Rapp said, now, watch just a minute. They stayed there. They married wives and they raised children. They had good crops. They were blessed, yeah. And they had a great time. They stayed there how long? Well, the Bible said until all the old fighters was dead. That's right. All those, glory to God, we're the assemblies. Well, glory to God, we're so-and-so. Glory to God, we're oneness. Hallelujah. The rest of them's wrong. See? Bless God, we're the church of God, a prophecy. Hallelujah. We're so-and-so. And right on there, what did they do? They kept arguing their doctrine till they stayed there till they died. That's why I've been trying to tell you and tell the people that I go to overseas, is that you cannot focus, you cannot teach the doctrine from theology. You've got to teach the doctrine of Christ from the relationship that God had with his son, because he's our pattern. You see? And if you can get your focus on that relationship that God had with his son, and that obedience of the son to the father in all things, then you see the pattern for yourself. But outside of that, it's just death. It's just intellectual. You see? They kept arguing their doctrine until they stayed there and they died. And that's what's happened now. They're dead. Dead with their organization. I'll bring any theologian in here, a historian. I know two or three of them in here. I ask any historian to tell me any time that God ever moved in a revival, supernatural signs following. When did he ever move that supernatural didn't follow? And when they did, they organized that to an organization, but what it did, when they did, it died right there. And it never does come back. You see? You can look at the Lutherans. There was a fire when Martin Luther was on the scene, but when Martin Luther went off, those around him organized what Martin Luther brought. And when they did that, it died. Then up come Wesley. In fact, Wesley couldn't even move forward. Wesley had a ministry for many years. He came to America. He was a total flop. But he had to go back to Martin Luther's message and pick up from there. And at the Aldersgate experience, what he had, where they were actually reading from the preface to Martin Luther's book on Romans. And if you haven't read it, I've got several copies. I challenge you to read it. It's just a wonderful book. It really helped you. But something happened to Wesley then when he picked up and he began to move on, you see? And see, the fire of God moves from one to the next to the next. It goes from generation to generation. And when people begin to look back, that's when they fail right there. Brother Ramsey said they're always looking back, always looking forward, and failing to recognize what God is doing right now. You see? I'm not interested. Well, I am interested in a way. I mean, I'm a history major, but I'm interested in the things that took place around Brother Branham, but I want to see the things that God is doing right now. I want to see if the pillar of fire is here leading us to the millennium. I want to see that pillar of fire. I want to be in the midst of the pillar of fire. I want to know that the pillar of fire is here. I want to see the effects of a supernatural God on a supernatural people. Amen. Amen. From the Church Age book, chapter 7, the Sardisian Church Age, he said, these people organized on a doctrine and bound themselves right back as did the organization ahead of them, proving that instead of being the real seed, they were the chaff or the protection, the protecting covering for the wheat seed that should come. This chaff stage was the danger period that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24:24, deceiving the very elect if it was possible. And also from chapter 6 of the Thyatiran Church Age, he said, the minute the first church of Rome organized, it died. The minute that the Lutherans organized, death came in and they died. The Pentecostals came along last and they organized. The Spirit left it, though they don't believe it. But he did. The marriage brought death. Then the light of the oneness of God had came, and they organized, and they died too. Well, what about the you know, like I could mention all these different doctrines that have risen up. Every one of them's died. Every one of those camps has fallen apart. God didn't come here to establish camps, brother, sister. He came to establish the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. From the Church Age book, chapter 7, the Sardisian Church Age. Not one of these messengers was organized. Either they were put out, or got out because they were convicted of the sin of organization. How can the Holy Spirit possibly be in an organization when it is an organization that takes the place of the Spirit and denomination takes the place of the Word? Remember, organization is death. It just can't be any other way. If the world takes over, the Spirit, if the world takes over, the Spirit departs. Now, what Brother Branham is saying is, look, and I've got another place where he says here, look, he says, you know, if you're in an organization, there's nothing wrong with an organization as long as it doesn't put a period after what it believes. As soon as you put a period after what you believe, that's when God can't do anything for you anymore. He can't show any more light. You're stuck. You're in a rut. And you're dead. From chapter 6, he said, show me one church that ever came out of organization that didn't go right back into it. There isn't one. From chapter 10, he said, this is a good place to make an illuminating observation. Now look, the deeds of the doctrines of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam and the teaching of the false prophetess Jezebel do not constitute three spirits or make three spiritual principles. These three are but the various manifestations of the same spirit as it goes from depth to depth. What it all is the Antichrist spirit of organization in its three various stages. Once the clergy separates themselves and organizes themselves, they oppress the people by leading them into and blinding them to organization. Also, this organization was based upon the creeds and dogma which they taught the people instead of the pure word of God. That's why when I back in number 255 of Spoken Words Original Seed, I said, now wait a minute. We've got some things that Brother Branham taught us that don't fit our understanding of what we thought he taught. We've got some things that the Scripture says that don't fit our little doctrine. So we had better stop, because if there's any Scripture that doesn't fit your doctrine, you need to say, I don't understand the doctrine correct. And I've got to step back and I've got to look at this. I've got to be honest. And all I was asking is the people, let's be honest. Let's not take a square peg and ram it down a round hole. Let's be honest in our heart. Because if we're honest in our heart, not just putting on church, not just, you know, having some big program, not just, you know, trying to woo people, but let's be honest, because one of these days we're going to face the great judge, And if you're not honest now, how are you going to be honest then when the word discerns the very thoughts and intents of your heart? You've got to stand right now and say, Lord, you know, forgive me. And he said, he promised his Holy Spirit that if we be any otherwise minded, he would reveal it to us. So when you get that little check, know one thing, that's the Holy Ghost checking you. You understand? So he says, that's a good place to make an illuminating observation, because he says the Antichrist spirit of organization is in three stages. It begins with the clergy separating themselves from the laity and organizing themselves. In doing so, they oppress the people by leading them and binding them to an organization. This organization was based upon creeds and dogmas, which they taught the people instead of the pure word of God. Ritual and ceremony was given an increasing part in their worship, and soon this whole system was a militant and diabolical power that did its best to control all through the persuasion and discourse of or even literal force. It received its energy from its own false prophecies and not the word of God. It was now absolutely antichrist, though it came in Christ's name. Look at every single denomination. They start with a truth. Every one of them. They start with a basic truth. And then what they do, they form their circle around that truth. And anybody outside of that circle, you don't got it. Now, what does that do? It controls the people that are in the circle. You see? That's what it's all about. From the Church Age book, the Thyatiran Church Age, you see death, he says, you see, death or organization came and the church died. Or to make it plainer, death became a resident wherein shortly before only life reigned. As the original Eve brought death to mankind, so now organization has brought death, for organization is the product of a double corrupter, Nicolaitanism and Balaamism, propagated by the prophetess Jezebel. So what is Nicolaitanism and what is Balaamism? Well, Nicolaitanism is when you set up a clergy above the people. Now remember, all sons of God and daughters of God are called kings and priests. Amen? But when you set up a hierarchy above the people, you're setting up mediators, plural, between God and man, and there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Jesus. Amen? Now, from the Pergamian church, he says, so Balaam got Israel to commit fornication. Do you know that physical fornication is the very same spirit that lies in organized religion? I said that spiritual fornication is the spirit of organization, and all fornicators will have their place in the lake of fire. That is what God thinks of organization. Yes, sir, the whore and her daughters will be in the lake of fire. So, don't forget this. When you've got people that go off the word, fornication follows in the church. Amen. It does. Sometimes even physically. I mean, always physically. It'll go to the physical fornication. Now, from the Church Age book, Resume of the Ages, Brother Branham said, for the clergy to organize themselves with one rank over another until they are finally headed up by the president is a manifestation of the Antichrist spirit. Regardless of how wonderful and necessary it may be, it is nothing but human reasoning that takes the place of the word. And any person who is in the organized denominations is right in the midst of an Antichrist system. Now let me say this and make it very plain. I am not against the people. I'm against the system. And the Church Age book, chapter 9, the latest in Church Age. Brother Branham here, before I read it, he says, when you subscribe to a doctrine that cannot be substantiated by Scripture, your doctrine is false. And when you organize around that doctrine, that's when death sets in. He says, the falsity of the doctrine cannot be seen by a lack of Scripture to substantiate it, cannot only be seen by a lack of Scripture to substantiate it, but those who subscribe to that doctrine immediately organize on the basis of the doctrine, proving that they were not in the truth as it would have people to believe. Oh, it looked good. It looked like the return of Pentecost, but it proved it wasn't. It could not be, for it organized. That is death, not life. It looks so close to the real that multitudes were deceived. So when you got a church, I don't care if it's just a single independent church, if that church is organized and you see an organizational spirit in there, that's death. And why do they have the organizational? It's to hold the people to the church. First thing a person does when they come in, well, do you sing, brother? Oh, we've got a choir. Do you play an instrument? Well, we've got a band. Can you teach Sunday school? Can you do this? Can you do that? And they're binding the people to their circle. You see, when Jesus said in Matthew 13, he said, the sower went forth sowing seed. Then afterward, or right behind him, the man in black came, that which is the devil. He came sowing seed. And the tares and the wheat grew up together. And the angel said, they said, shall we root them up? He said, no, don't, because the tares are protecting the wheat. He said, just let them grow until the harvest. Then, he said, separate out first the tares. He said, bind them into bundles. And the words that Jesus used, bind them and bundle them, are two different Greek words. They mean two different things. And when he said bind them, that word means, it's the word dio, it means organize. It means systematically. You've got a systematic theology. Everything's systematic. Everything's, you know, like when you bind something into a bundle, first of all, a bundle is not just a bunch of sticks in just any old direction. That's a pile. A bundle is when you've got everything about the same diameter going in the same direction, then you can bind it, or you can bundle it. You understand? Now, you can't bundle a toothpick with a log. It's not, the toothpick's going to fall out. So you've got to have a same denomination or a same value. And so you get a church that it's all music. Everybody comes for the music. Or a church that doesn't think much about marriage and divorce or those things. Well, then they all come there because they all want to have hanky-panky. So, you get these certain values and everybody's got the same value. Then you can bind them real quick. You can bundle them up. So when Jesus says bind them into bundles, he said, do that to the tares, but to the wheat, he said, gather them. Not bind them, gather them. Now you take a pile of toothpicks and you put it on a table. You can take a rubber band, you can take a string, and you can bind up toothpicks, no problem. Get sticks about the same diameter, you can bind them up, no problem. But put a handful of seeds on the table and take a rubber band and try to bind them. Take a string and try to tie up a whole little group of seeds. You see, the seed of God, you cannot bind them. There's something in them that they cannot organize. They're just too independent, and they just have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And sons of God are led not by a system, not by a man. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. That's it. You see? From the Church Age book, chapter 7, he says, now, I just said that this era gave tremendous growth to a denominational system. If the Corinthian attitude of I am of Paul, I'm of Cephas was ever exhibited, it was now. There were Lutherans and Hussites and Zwinglis and party, etc. Such fragmentation of the body was deplorable. They were living on a name, but they were dead. Certainly they were dead. They died the minute they organized. We could go right into this message. We got the same thing. We had men that were around Brother Branham. And so because they were around Brother Branham, maybe they went hunting with Brother Branham. Well, now they become a big shot because they had a story they could tell, a personal story that they were with Brother Branham. Or they went fishing with Brother Branham so they could tell a personal story about Brother Branham. You know, and men actually created million-dollar industries by falling in the water. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Where's the word of God being preached by these ministers? Where is it? I'm not condemning them for being around Brother Branham. I praise God for it. But where is the same life that was in the prophet in them? You see, where's the same word? Where's the same commitment? Where's the same consecration? Where's the same dedication? You don't see it, brother, sister. You should see it. If we are the elect of God, the seed of God, we should be living the same life that William Branham lived. And if you're not, I can't say why you're not, because everybody's an individual. All I can say is that we're not where we're supposed to be. Remember the old lady, she said, I thank God that I'm not what I should be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. You know, so we're on the road. Now, again, from chapter 6, he said, can any man living tell me what church or what move of God ever had revival and came back after she went into organization and became a denomination? Read your histories. You can't find one, not even one. I mean, good grief. We've got more schisms in churches, beginning with the Catholic Church all the way up through the Pentecostal Church. And right in this message, where there's been child molesters as pastors, fornicators, adulterers as pastors, I mean, men who are not men of God standing behind the holy desk of God. Where is that in the early church? In the early church of God, look, there was a man and wife who just withheld a little bit. You know, they said, well, we'll just agree that we're going to give so much of this, but we're going to tell the church we're giving it all. They didn't have to give it all. They could have said, well, you know, we decided we're going to give 20% of what we sold when we sold our house. We're going to give 20% of it to the church to help the church. They didn't have to give it all. But when they told the church that they gave it all, God struck them dead. And they carried them out dead. Where is that today in the churches? You got churches where fornication takes place right in the building. And those people aren't struck dead. It's because there's no God in that building. I'm sorry, brother, sister. Ichabod is written. The Spirit of the Lord has departed. From the Pergamian church age, he said, denominations are not of God. They never have been, never will be. It's a wrong spirit that separates the people of God into hierarchy and laity. And it's therefore a wrong spirit that separates the people from the people. That's what organization and denominations do. In organizing, they separate themselves from the Word of God and bring themselves into spiritual adultery. Listen, in almost every church denomination, even in this message, are churches who, if you don't, you know, if you go to this church and you've got family in another church, you can't go visit them. No, you can't. I mean, I could give you names, I won't do it. But you can't go visit them because they're not of us. They're not in our circle. Well, since when is that? Show me verse in scripture for that kind of thinking. You see, that's an organizational spirit. That's dead. From the Pergamian church, he said, denominations are not of God. They never have been, never will be. It's a wrong spirit. Again, he said, that is what has happened in every age since. God delivers the people. They come out by the blood, sanctified by the word, walk through the waters of baptism and get filled with the Spirit. But after a while, the first love cools off and someone gets the idea that they ought to organize in order to preserve themselves and make a name for themselves. And they organize themselves right back into a second generation and sometimes even before then. They no longer have the Spirit of God, just a form of worship, and they are dead. And again, from the Smyrna church, he said, the horse is a type of a true believer, and the ass, the donkey, is a picture of the unrighteous one. Mix them together, and you get a mule. And it's sterile. It's a form of religion. It hasn't a seed of life in it. It's dead. It can't reproduce itself. It can talk about the truth, but it can't produce it. It doesn't have God in its midst. Yet it gathers together and talks about God, and all the while systematically denies the power of God. They will deny the word in the very name of God. And there is never any hope for them. Do you realize that no organized religion ever had a revival? It never did. Not once. Once they organized, they died. Then they can't come back after that. Look, once that mule and that horse get together and produce, I mean, once the horse and the jackass get together and produce a mule, that mule can't keep producing. It's dead. It's dead, brother, sister. And the same with the churches today. When they start to mix this, well, I'm going to follow this man. Right there, you're on your way to hell. In fact, I read you a quote last night where Brother Vail said, he said, if you try to say that you got to follow Lee Vail, he said, you're a liar, a liar, a liar. And he said, you're on your road to the lake of fire. He said, and some say, well, I follow Joe Coleman, and I follow Lee Vail, and I follow this man and that man. He said, I ought to take a 4x4 and knock your head off. I mean, that's the way Lee talked. He said, don't follow me. He said, I'm trying my best to follow Christ. And Paul even said, Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say follow me, because he said, some say I'm of Paul. And he said, aren't you babes? Aren't you children? Aren't you immature? Well, I'm a Paul, I'm a Cephas, I'm a this, I'm a that. And he said, aren't you carnal? Isn't that what he said? With Irenaeus, this was not so. He was militant against any form of organization. Also, his life history, wherein he served the Lord, was one of much manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and the word was taught with unusual clarity and conformity to its original precepts. His church in France were known to have the gifts of the Spirit among them, for the saints spoke in tongues, they prophesied, they raised the dead, they healed the sick by the prayer of faith. He saw the dangers of any kind of organized brotherhood among the elders and pastors, etc. He stood solidly for a unified, Spirit-filled, gift-manifesting local church, and God honored him for the power of God manifested among the saints. He saw it. Paul saw it. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. From the resume of the ages, says these people, even before the second generation had appeared, organized and wrote their unscriptural doctrines and built their own fences as every other group ahead of them did. Again, from a resume of the ages, said, now watch this doctrine of Balaam most carefully. Notice above all that it is a deliberate maneuver of a corrupt clergy to bind the people to them by leading the people deliberately into the sin of unbelief. The Nicolaitan doctrine was the corruption of the clergy as they sought political power amongst themselves, while Balaamism is a subjection of the people to their system of creed and worship in order to hold them. Now watch this carefully. What was it that bound the people to the nominal church and thereby destroyed them? It was the creeds and dogmas formed into church tenets. It was the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. They were not given the true food, the word. They were given the food that came from idol worship. Babylonian paganism wrapped itself up in Christian terminology. And that very same spirit and doctrine is right amongst all Protestants and is called denomination. Nicolaitanism is organization humanizing the leadership of the church and thereby deposing the Spirit. Balaamism is denominations which take the church's manual instead of the Bible. And right to this hour, many of God's people are caught up into the snare of denominationalism, and God is crying out, come out from among her, my people, lest ye be partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. You see, they are ignorant, but if the rapture should take place at this moment, ignorance could not be a court of appeal for the judgment of God for being wrong in your ranks. So, you know, like the woman said to Brother Bell one time, she said, well, I just don't understand, therefore I'm not going to be held accountable. I said, no, you got it backwards. You are going to be held accountable, therefore you had better understand. You understand that? Now, again, he said, the false church organized, humanized the government of the word, and they fought the true Christian. And from the Laodicean church age, what is it that all these denominations are based upon? The claim to originality, and that God, and that of God, the claim that they are right. Now, they all cannot be right. In fact, not one of them is right. They are white as sepulchres full of dead men's bones. They have no life. They have no vindication. God has never made himself known in any organization. They say that they are right because they are the ones that are saying it, but saying it does not make it so. They need the vindicated, thus saith the Lord of God, and they don't have it. From Jehovah Jireh, never one time did an organization ever rise up that didn't die and never come back again. I challenge any historian. I'm looking in the face of several of them right here. He said, show me one time that a church ever organized, but it didn't die and stayed dead. You see, that's why when the revival fire happens, it's because people are opening their hearts up to the word that they haven't seen before. But when they begin to in fear, they begin to form an organization around that portion of the word. What about this word out here and this word out here? Look, when you're on your way into the kingdom of God, you're walking where the pillar of fire is leading us to the millennium. If the millennium hasn't come yet, and it hasn't, then we're still on our way. He said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, right? That's John 1:7. Well, what if you stop walking? Because that's what you do when you put a period after what you believe. You stop right there. And when you stop walking, the pillar of fire keeps moving on because he's walking in the light. And you're missing it. And you've died. You see? Even Pentecost. They made it all thing. They said you had to speak in tongues to get the Holy Ghost. And Paul said that was the least of the gifts. From the mark of the beast, Brother Ram said, but the people, when you get organization, they hang to the organization instead of the cross and Christ. See, therefore, if you got an organization and you draw it up, and if you end it with a comma, well, we believe all of this plus as much as the Lord will reveal to us, well, that's good. But when you end it with a period, you die right there. And show me one that's not ended with a period. Show me one organization that didn't put a fence around and to keep people in and to keep people out. What do you mean keep people out? Keep other influences out. You see? When trying to do God a service, in many sincere persons, they go join an organization or a group or a cult or some sort, and there they die spiritually. You can't tell them nothing. They get that stuff drilled into them. Why, these bishops said this, and this said this, and this said that. You show them right here in the Word of God where it's, thus saith the Lord, but they'll say, our pastor said. I don't care what your pastor says. I don't care what I say or anybody else says. If it's contrary to God's vindicated word of the hour, the time, the message, and so forth, forget it. Stay away from it. Amen. He even placed himself in there, brother, sister. As even Paul the apostle in Galatians 1 and verse 6 said, if I or an angel from heaven say anything other than what has already been delivered to you, let him be cursed. From the message influence, he said, up come the Pentecostals, and what do? The General Assembly, known as the Assemblies of God, you organize yourself. What did you do? You begin to corrode. Then along came the oneness called the new issue. What did they do? They went out and they organized themselves. God added a little something to the church in you, and we've got it. And you all are out of it. Oh my brother, that's not God. Don't you see? What did you do? You died right there in your tracks. God raised up a Christian businessman here in the last days, and if they start the same thing, they're going to die exactly the same way. It doesn't matter what church it is, brother, sister. Every time God has a little revival, he gives a little bit of light. Men in their, like Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? Men in that body of their death, they begin to formulate and say, how can we protect this sacred truth that we've got? And they begin to organize it. And like I said, that's to hold the sheep in. And that's to hold others out. Now notice here, the life that was in the husk, in the stalk, in the tassel, in the husk, all gathers into the seed. And the life that was in the stalk went on. One went to make another. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost himself to come right down in perfection. Back to the Word again to manifest itself. Now notice how he differentiates between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost himself. Now this is the one thing that the oneness among us do not understand. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is not the presence of God. It's the baptism. It's the life of God, but it's not God himself. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have God life. Now, who has the most kids in here? I guess Adam, maybe. I think. No, how many do you got? You got six, but Brother Gordy, how many do you got? Huh? Six? Okay. But you were in a family of what? 20. Did your dad get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller every time you had a kid? No, I think his head probably got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know what I'm saying? David had 300 and some kids in 1 year. You think the life went out of David? You think David emptied out his life because he had 300 kids? I don't think so. When you've got God life, which is the Holy Spirit baptism, it doesn't make God any less. You see, there's some strange idea they have in Pentecost that when God came in and divided himself up, and you know, the pillar of fire came into the room and the licks of fire came off the pillar of fire, and they think, well, God divided himself, there's no more God. Now God's in the people. That's hogwash. The life of God is in the people. I've got three daughters myself, and I can see attributes of myself in each one of them. And I see attributes of their mother in them. See, Jesus didn't have any mother. And he didn't have any earthly father. So all of his attributes and characteristics came from God. You know? And when you receive the Holy Spirit baptism, guess what? All the new characteristics and attributes you receive is from God too. Only problem is that you get confused over which is you and which is God. Or God life. You just have to die to yourself, brother, sister. Let Jesus Christ live your life for you. But the reason they don't understand the difference between the baptizer and the baptism is because they don't understand God life. The Holy Ghost is God, and God is the author. He's the fountain of life. There's only one source of eternal life, and that comes from God. He's the author of life. Eternal life is God life. And they do not understand the difference between the person having God life in them and having God himself in them. But when John the Baptist saw the pillar of fire come down and went into Jesus, he said, I saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove, and he lit upon him. As Brother Bram said, that when Jesus is 12 years old, he said, that wasn't God. He said, that was just a baby. That was a little boy born in a manger. But he said, at the River Jordan, God came into him and lived in him. And you notice that this young boy, no wisdom at all, Brother Bram said, just 12-year-old boy. And you say, well, yeah, but look at he conversed with the theologians. You know, well, listen, any one of your kids can converse with the theologians today. And they know more scripture than the theologians do, because why? They're bound by an organization. They can't go outside of what they've been taught. You see? And your kids have been taught a complete word in this hour. But now let's look at the fact that Jesus, not one manifestation of God life was in him, expressed from him, until after the baptism. Then the miracles came. Right? All right. Now, so what I'm trying to show you, brother, sister, is, and then when, what happened? On the cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That means totally abandoned me. God had to leave that body, or the body could not have died. You can't kill God. He's the immortal king. You understand? Well, we have a baptism. And Jesus was baptized with the fullness. We're baptized with a portion. Paul called it a measure of faith. But when that life comes into you, brother, sister, if you would just die to self and yield your body to it, you will find a life that is totally victorious in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let me just scoot through a little bit here. Now, from the masterpiece, Brother Bram said, living, they produced in their early revival a holder of a certain portion of the seed of life. But when they organized, the life moved out of it. That's proved all through history. Never an organization ever done one thing after it organized. It was dead. That's right. Watch the life is traveling on now. It moved on. It went from Luther. It went into Wesley. Went from Wesley. It went into Pentecost. You see, and God kept moving on. And what does it do when the plant starts in the ground? It, you know, when it first pops its head up, isn't it nice and green and tender and very, almost like silk? You know, you can touch it. But as it starts to grow up and get taller, that stalk is a little bit green, but then it gets, starts to get more yellow and it gets dried out. But then you see up here, you got leaves coming up. The leaves are tender, but the stalk is dried out. Then as it gets more to the head, it starts to produce the fruit in the head, then the leaves start to dry out. Then you've got this little shuck that's exactly the same shape as the seed itself. But if you, like Brother Bram said, when it's still green, if you open it up, there's no seed inside. The life is there, but it's not manifested yet. And so that shuck is meant to protect the life of the wheat. And then finally, by time of harvest, the shuck gets dried. And it starts to, you know, that's why when they harvest a seed, in the old days, they would throw the seed up in the air. And when it hit the pan, it would kind of break it up a little bit, and they'd throw it in the air, and the wind would blow away the shuck. And then you'd have nothing but seed left. You see? And so through the winds and trials that we go through, you know, God is sifting, brother, sister. He's trying to sift out all that flesh, all that worldlyism, all that dryness. Until nothing, there'll be nothing left but pure, unadulterated seed word of God in you. Now, I don't know how much more clear anybody can put it than Brother Branham has put it in all these places, especially the Church Age book. He said, once a move of God organized, it never again is useful to God at all. Every denomination began with some truth, but when they begin to organize that truth, that's the very minute that the life goes out. He said they produced it in the early revival in the churches, a holder of a certain portion of the seed, but when they organized, the life moved out of it. So I hope you people that are listening to this sermon on the internet, and you people here, I hope you don't try to organize what you believe. The minute you do, the life of God will go out of you if you begin to try to organize. You know, we saw them in different groups. We saw, you know, the Coleman group. They organized, and they went around the world with their organization. They got a big following, and then what happened? It turned to carnality. It turned to just all kinds of things. It turned into a lot of even bad stuff. I won't go through it because I don't want to, you know, broadcast the bad stuff that went on, but a lot of bad stuff happened. And a lot of people got puffed up, and a lot of people went to jail. Or not a lot of people, but some went to jail. other groups. You had the, you had the Paul Jones group. You know, he got a little, he taught this, that you have two souls. Well, then what did that do? It led to polygamy. You see? And every time you get somebody that runs with something, and they can get a following, they organize around that thing, they get this following, they build it. It leads to no good. Brother Brown said, you'll never be able to organize the message, but you can organize certain pieces of the message. But see, you can't really organize the Word of God. And that's what the message is. Because, you see, when you've got the life of the Father in you, you can't stomach that organization. You can't stomach that plastic people. The phony social Christians. You can't stomach it because you know that they'll say one thing nice to you and then turn around and they'll say something against you. God's seed don't do that. Bride does not persecute bride. So in order to better understand what we're talking about here, the word organized means to put together into an orderly, functional, structured whole. Now there's nothing wrong with structure. There's nothing wrong with order. Or with making things functional. Therefore, so far, what we've read concerning to organize does not sound like anything that would be too awful that God would be displeased with it. But let's read on the definitions. Now, number two, the definition two and A in the Webster Dictionary says to arrange in a coherent form, to systematize, organize her thoughts before her speaking. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with presenting the doctrine of the message in a coherent fashion. And to do that, you must systemize or place it together in an orderly fashion in order to make the presentation of it more easily understood. The problem is that when you start to systematize, you have to rule out things. You can't just give everything. And when you start to not give everything, now you're starting to leave pieces out. And that's what has happened, is they leave quotes out. Well, what about when Brother Branham said this or the scripture said this? Well, it doesn't fit, so we're just systematizing. You understand? To be, to arrange in a desired pattern, in a desired pattern or structure. Whose desire? Whose pattern? Again, there is nothing here that would cause the life of God to take flight. Because even Jesus' own life was ordered and it was right. And he set the pattern for all sons to follow. But this next definition begins to give some clarity to the danger of organizing. Number three, to arrange systematically for harmonious or united action. Then it gives some example of this organizing to form a union, organize a strike, etc. To establish as an organization, to organize a club, to induce employees to form or join a labor union, to induce the employees of a business or an industry to form or join a union, organize a factory, to develop into or assume an organic structure. So what we see here is an evolution from harmless attempt to present the message in an orderly fashion so that people can get a better understanding of it, to the place where it is actually organizes the people themselves into a harmonious union, that it binds the people to the core value of the beliefs and excludes others who do not hold to those beliefs. That's the problem with organization. That is what every false doctrine has done that has crept in any move of God. And that is what has happened even in some aspects of the message. As I said, the Thunders group, the two souls, the tapes only people, etc. And notice, when they do that, the life of the word leaves them and they begin to establish among themselves a hierarchy of men in which if you do not listen to those men, you're considered out of it altogether. And when the people reach that state, they are on their way into organization. That's why Brother Vail said, you do not have to hear it from me, but you've got to stand with the truth. It does not matter who you hear the doctrine from, but you had better hear it. For he that does not have the doctrine of Christ has not God. That's what John said. You see? So you see, there's a real danger anytime you try to improve on what God has given to you by inspiration. The danger comes when people try to organize any move of God, and the reason they organize a move of God is because they're not satisfied with the way God presented it to begin with. Why do you think they're gene manipulating all the genes in the food? They're not satisfied with the beauty of the food and what it does, that God created it that way. So they got a better idea. Well, we're going to just take some fish stuff out of this fish DNA and we're going to put it into tomatoes so that we can, or we're going to start injecting you with vaccines, but we'll do it sneaky. We're going to put it in the tomatoes or in your carrots so that the food that you're eating is going to vaccinate you. Yeah, vaccinate you with what? It's like, you know, the world wants to give the World Health Organization and the CDC, you know, oh, give every child hepatitis B vaccine when they're, you know, when they're 6 months old or before they even leave the hospital. Why would you give a child a hepatitis B, which is a venereal disease, and it's a live virus? Tell me, why would you do that? If God didn't give it to him by birth, it doesn't need to be given. And listen, I handled vaccines for 10 years. And I'll tell you, I did a lot of study, and I came to the place where at the end I just couldn't do it no more. You know, I saw the difference between acellular, which is, you know, it's a killed virus, and all the other stuff that some of the companies are putting out. And then they throw a slimerosal on top of it, which is a mercury, which is a poison. It debilitates your body, mercury does. It cripples you up. And then we had all kinds of kids with autism and everything else. The kids were just fine and healthy, and they got those MMRs, and that's the worst vaccine there is. And they come away with autism. And I went to the facilities, and I talked to them about those issues, and they said, oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. Our vaccine's good, and that vaccine's, you know, just salesmen. And I said, but all the studies show that it's not. Oh, those people don't know what they're talking about. I said, there's over 600 doctors that have independently done their own studies. You've got a few paid scientists that you're paying to do it. No, brother, sister, it's all death. Everything. Government's death today. There's not a righteous government. The only righteous government is when Jesus Christ comes and establishes his. Yeah, politics is to the core. Rotten to the core. Education's rotten to the core. It's all about money. All about money. They don't care about the student. They don't try to help the student. It's about money. Well, get him to fail so he has to take the class again. Because they make, you know, you have to have this class. So just fail them. Hey, that way we get two or three for the price of one, or not for the price of one, we get three prices for one student. And that's what they do. The average young man, he changes his because he's so confused by what he gets taught, he changes his electives. He changes his major. Changes his major. Thank you. I have a senior moment here. He changes his major 8 times before he's a junior. 8 times. Well, that's a lot of money in the pocket of the organization. It's called colleges and universities. It's all death, brother, sister. So you see, the real danger is that any time you try to improve on God, it's you can't improve on what God has done. Isaiah 28:8. He said, all the tables are covered with vomit. What's vomit? It's food from another day, regurgitated, presented out again in a form that I wouldn't want to eat it. But God says all the tables, all the pulpits are filled with vomit. And there is not a spot without filth. Who is he trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from the milk, just drawn from the breast? The Apostle Paul said that when you should be teachers, he said, why do you still need milk? No, those on milk see things a little differently. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child because I spoke as a child and acted as a child in a childish manner. But when I became a man, I put away childish thinking, which results in childish talking and childish action. So the word of the Lord to them becomes, he says, for it is to them, do and do, rule on rule. And so the churches resort to legalism. Do's and do's and rule on rule. Got the church has this rule, and the church has this rule, and we have this doctrine, and we have this and this. And notice their perception of the word reversed to legalism. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongue, God will speak to this people. So if God will speak to this people, then what will God say except for thus saith the Lord? And this is the rest that God has for his elect. The elect rests on thus saith the Lord. To whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest, and this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. And so we have a prophet that knocked on the pulpit while he was preaching the seventh seal. And while he was knocking, he said, it's supposed to be relaxation under the seventh seal. And notice that we're told in Isaiah that this foreign tongue will bring rest, but the people will not listen. And thus, if they do not listen, they will not enter into this rest, but will revert to works. And works is following men. And that is what we read in the next verse in Isaiah. So then the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, so that they will go and fall backwards and be injured and snared and captured. And so what do the people depend on? You see, the Bible says, train up a child the way they go, and when they get old, they'll not depart. So they come out of organization, they come out into the light, and what do? When they won't listen to thus saith the Lord anymore. They start listening to a man, and what do? Pretty soon they're not eating meat, they're not doing this, they're keeping holy a Sabbath, and you know, and instead of the Sabbath being Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, the rest, the Sabbath means rest. So instead of resting in thus saith the Lord, it's programs, it's things they can do. So the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, rule and rule, little here, little there, and they'll go backwards. They're always going to go backwards because why? Because train them up in the way they'll go. When they get old, they'll not depart. They'll always come back to it. Come out of denomination, what are they going to do? They're going to go back to that organizational thinking. You see? So you see, the word of the Lord becomes works. To them becomes works. In other words, they begin to try to do it for themselves because the life of the word is gone from them. When they refuse the rest that God has given us by entering into Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, just watch any move of God, and when the ministry of God was using, watch when it goes off the scene. Any ministry God used, watch when they go off the scene. Those who are following will begin to try to hold on to what was taught, but in doing so, they will organize it, and when the life goes out and the rest is gone, the works always follows. Instead of preaching the life that's in the Word, the sermons will become focused on dress and conduct and clothesline theology, what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat. And pretty soon the people begin to eye one another, looking for fault in one another because they're not doing exactly what the pastor told them to do. And they begin to separate into cliques and clans. And once that happens, the work that work is absolutely gone spiritually. Or they may end up with more people than the ministry that stays with the Word, but that's no surprise because the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 4:27, many more are the children of the desolate than she which has a husband. And we know that she has a husband as the bride. You know, I can't read this next verse of Scripture enough in warning you about what's happening even in the message today. He says, who is he trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message, his doctrine? To children weaned from the milk? To those just drawn from the breast? I don't think so. For to them it has become do and do, rule on rule, little here, little there. Very well, with foreign lips and strange tongue, God will speak to this people. And when God speaks, it's thus saith the Lord. To whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. So then the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, to them will become a bunch of rules, do's and do's and don'ts, do and do, rule and rule, little here, little there. So they'll fall backward, be injured, snared, and captured. Now, Brother Bram said from the masterpiece, he said, don't you see why he never used an organization? He can't get back in it again. It's dead. But the life passes on from one to another. See, they put creeds and inject here, and whosoever shall add one word or take one word out of it, see, he's blocked off from it. It must be the life seed traveling on. And we have got to come to a place, brother, sister, because in Ephesians 4, when he talks about the fivefold ministry and how it's for the perfecting of the maturing of the saints till we come into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and that we be no more children. But then he goes on in verse 17, and he tells us that how when the word of God leaves, he said, and having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So it comes to the place where the heart gets hard. It doesn't pump anymore. Right? And when the heart gets hard, what happens? Death sets in. And when the people's hearts get hard toward one another, what happens? Death sets in. And you see it everywhere. So because their hearts are blind and they are willfully ignorant, as they move away from what understanding they did have, they actually shut off the life of God from themselves. In essence, they're walking away from the fountain of life. There's never any reason to quit preaching the doctrine to revert to works, for Christ is the doctrine. If you preach Christ, The hearts of the people will be filled with the life, and there will be no need to preach a clothesline religion, because if you've got the Spirit of God in you, He's a Holy Spirit, you're going to be holy. I don't have to go and tell you. The Holy Ghost ought to tell you. Fill a person with God life, and God will live through them. And it does not matter what you do to clean up your life. If you're not born again, it is not even acceptable to God anyway. All that kind of righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. And so Brother Branham said he'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. It'll not be connected anyway with the kind of organization or denomination that curses the thing. It passed through those things, but it'll never be there. And oh, notice, then the husk, when it comes forth, looks like the grain. But when the grain life begins to leave the husk to go on to make the grain the bride, the husk opens up and excommunicates the grain. Isn't that exactly what happens? It gets real tight and out pops the seed. Out pops the seed. Why? To bring life, continue life on. You see? Now notice, once again, Brother Bram says that the true believer will never organize, but they will follow the life wherever it goes. And Brother Vail told me in his living room a few years ago, he said, they're saying that when I'm gone, that teaching will be over. But they're wrong, because as long as the Holy Ghost is here, there will be teachers, because the Holy Ghost is the teacher. Amen. And notice what Brother Brown said. He's the Word again. He's like the one that fell down. He's the same doctrine that came forth from the beginning. So it has to be doctrine, because if you focus on the doctrine of Christ, you have God, period. And John said, he that hath the Son hath life. And the word hath was translated from the Greek word echo. So he that echoes the Son echoes life. He that echoes the doctrine of Christ echoes God himself. So as the life moves on, the doctrine of Christ will continue to be taught by those who have been faithfully taught themselves. And when the church stops teaching the doctrine and begins to focus on rules and order and do, it has lost its first love and has left the doctrine of Christ. And when they do that, they no longer echo or reflect the life, nor do they echo or reflect God, and God is life. And as Brother Vail said, they've got it, but they don't got it. In other words, when you've got the doctrine here, but it's not here living itself out in you, expressing itself, you don't really have it. You've got some intellectual conception, some intellectual thing. And what is it that people that have this and not this are the ones who organize? They're the ones that try to control this. God wants to control this, brother, sister. Finally, Paul says in Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, when he shall phaneru, when he shall manifest himself in his true character, so shall we phaneru, so shall we manifest in our true character with him in glory. And we know that word glory is God's doxa. It's his opinion, his judgment, his assessments, his values. Therefore, when Christ, who is our life, appears, our life shall manifest in its true character, the very values of God, the very opinion of God. And in closing, from the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Brown said, now you go back and try to live again. What if that life took back down there? You think that life will ever go back after that old shucks dried up? Ever go back and live in it again? It never will. For it's impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word of God as it comes to pass, they're dead and they're gone. And the thorns and thistles, which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be burned. Is that right? Now hurry, just as anyway. 1 John 1 and 2, in closing. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Jesus Christ came, and God entered him, and he manifested God to the people. And John says, that life, which we've seen and bear witness, and now we're showing to you. Why? Because we received that same life on the day of Pentecost. We received the same life that was manifested to us. It's now manifesting through us. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, the doxa, the opinion and values of the Lord, were changed into the same image from glory to glory, from values to values, from opinion to opinion, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul told us here that when we look into the mirror of the Word, we are changed into the image that we see in the Word, which is Christ, who is our light. And then he tells us that we are changed from image to image and from glory to glory, from doxa to doxa, from opinion to opinion, from values to values. So he tells us that we are changed into the image of Christ, who is our light, and we are changed from opinion to another, from one opinion to another opinion, from our opinion to God's opinion, from the church's opinion to God's opinion, you see. as we come into the mind of Christ. Therefore, the life moves on, and those walking in the light continue to walk in the light as he's in the light. They don't look back, because there, anyone driving while looking backward in a rear view mirror, as Brother Brown always told us, you're going to crack up. Well, we had a prophet come, brother, sister, who never tried to organize anything. He lived a life before us. He showed us in the Word. He was an example. Let's not try to organize that. Let's walk by that same example. Let's walk in the same light as he, God, is in the light. Then we'll have fellowship one with another. That's what brings our fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us. Knowing one thing, brother, sister, when he died for you on the cross, it's before you were even born in this flesh. So all your sins past, all your sins present, all your sins in the future have been placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's focus on that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Father, for the sacrifice of your beloved Son, Jesus. And as Brother Branham said, his greatest victory was not on the cross. His greatest victory was in Gethsemane, because he said, Father, I would that you would take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He didn't want to go to the cross, but he was willing to do so to please the Father. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He said, all I want to do is please my Father. So, Father, may we have the same attitude that your Son Jesus had, which is the same attitude that Enoch had, that he had this testimony that he was pleasing to God. And, Father, may we not be trying to please one another, but may our focus be on pleasing thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, The Lord Bless Thee and Keep Thee. The Lord Make His Face Shine Upon Thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace and give thee and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you.